Thanks for downloading this episode of the John Curley and Jake Skorheim Show. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. The best place to watch all your favorite sports. Featuring wall-to-wall viewing screens, six windows, and 30 kiosks. Be there at emeraldqueen.com.
Here we go, the John and Jake Show. That's right. We have made big changes here at Cairo. Miss Sherry, management made some decisions. People are texting. Teeny is taking care of all the text.
I don't believe it.
They did have Sherry used to fight with Teeny a lot about a bunch of different things. Teeny was very jealous of Sherry.
Is this Teeny's doing?
Teeny? Wow, no one had brought that up.
Oh.
Well, the answer is no.
Okay, there you go. Fine.
That's what she would say.
Write to us at mynorthwest.com, although Andrew says...
You can do that, too.
No, look at you. He's gotten the memo on that one. Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 1-888-973-5476. Having a Well, Howard Schultz, who left in 2018, then came back in, 2022, took the reins again at Starbucks, then he left again. He loves Starbucks, and he's really disappointed that Starbucks has missed its big number, I think 17% down. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal, I think it was either Thursday morning, that this is it. This is the recession, or this is the drawback, the pullback that people kept thinking was coming. Americans now have really decided, whoa, yikes, I can't afford. So they're giving up a lot of fast food. They're giving up Starbucks, the highest prices that they've seen in the last 30 years when it comes to inflation. So now Starbucks feels it as well. And also, Starbucks has reduced, I think they say, some people are complaining, the amount of coffee that you're getting in the cup. Just overall, it feels like a luxury. And they don't want to necessarily spend the $6 on a cup of coffee when they can spend $2, they can go somewhere else and get coffee.
Well, it's kind of a shock to go there now. I mean, I hadn't been to Starbucks in a while. I had started drinking different coffee. And then I went the other day to get a latte or something. I was surprised that, you're paying like $7-$8 for a coffee now, and you could go to McDonald's, you can get they have their 99-cent any size coffee.
And that's why Howard says it shouldn't be transactional, it should be experiential.
Yeah, so people are willing to pay extra for the experience. They're trying new...
For what experience?
Well, standing in line at a coffee shop, but they have extra things now that they offer at Starbucks. They have a new CEO who is focusing on one of the things they mentioned here. Have you ever had boba teas? You can get a boba tea now at Starbucks, they're doing. Have you ever had a boba tea?
No, but that's not going to draw me in. I remember when Howard was upset that he said, when you walk into a Starbucks, you should smell coffee roasting, not eggs cooking, because when they had the eggs and stuff. So they changed a lot of the ventilation. They said it's about the experience of going into a coffee house. Originally, when Howard Schultz, who had spent time in Italy, came back, said he wants that same sort of thing. This is going to be the third place. So people are at home. That's one place. People at work, that's not. And this would be the third place. The third place in people's lives where they go and they hang out and you experience what it is to drink coffee. But it's like, have you been in a Starbucks? You go there and just guy yells out your name, gets it right or gets it wrong. And then, you go over there to put cream in. There's a big pile of broken sugar packets and other stuff. It's like, what's the experience here?
Do you think, I think in this article they talked about how he grew that brand. What is it? They have like 39,000 locations or something now. It's just like this insane number. Do you think, and the reason they're so successful is because you can go into a Starbucks in Poughkeepsie or in France. You can get the same experience, same cup of coffee. But do you think maybe that kind of takes away from it as well? Like years and years ago when it was kind of a Seattle thing and it felt like a very Seattle-centric thing and it was growing like crazy. And now it's just this kind of ubiquitous. Are people just bored of it? Is that a problem?
Well, if you want to grow the business and you're a publicly traded company, you can't just go, we're going to have three locations only, because then you can't grow it at all, because you can't sell more coffee, because you can't change the number of hours in the day, and can't trace the number of people coming through the door. So you got to keep growing it. It's the consistency that you're talking about, whether it's the same cup here or the same cup in some other state or some different country. And you're walking down the street and it's like, well, there's a Starbucks. You know it's a Starbucks. So you think, well, I'll go there, as opposed to the local mom and pa shop that might or might not have coffee, and they might not do the coffee the way you want.
It's burnt,
right?
And it tastes, yeah, whatever.
Whatever it is, right? So it's just, there's Starbucks. It's consistency. I order my drink and I know I'm going to get that drink. I've never liked it. I don't really care about the taste of coffee. I just drink whatever. The fact that we went away for the 4 days, came back, there was still coffee left in my little Mr. Coffee coffee maker. I just thought, it's had that weird oily sheen on top that comes on coffee after it's been sitting for like 5 days.
Yeah, naturally.
I just stick it in the microwave and heat it back up again. You should be able to drink coffee anytime.
Tastes the same to you?
I don't really, to me, the whole tasting of food and coffee is not something that I'm really necessarily concerned
with.
You
have taste buds, though, right? You enjoy tasting things?
Yeah, but coffee always tastes crappy, right? It's never like, ooh, that's great, great cup of coffee.
I was a barista in my younger days. I actually worked at a coffee competitor of Starbucks called Tully's. You remember Tully's?
Sure.
Tom O'Keefe Tully's. So he was originally, he was like a real estate guy who saw how much money Schultz was making. He goes, I can do that. Maybe I'll do it a little differently. So what Tully's did is they tried to focus on specifically the coffee taste. So they would train all the baristas, like 17-year-old Jake. They're like, all right, here's the different kinds of beans, and here's the different oily substances that you're talking about, and here's all these things. And they tried to train us. Of course, I couldn't learn any of that because I was 17. And I didn't have the palate for it. But that's what their focus was. Their focus was on, all right, taste. Let's be a unique taste that's different than Starbucks. Because a lot of people don't like Starbucks taste.
They think it tastes burned.
They do think it tastes burned. Yeah. That's like the common thing that everybody says. And, you know, apparently they're suffering from it right now.
Well, they're suffering from Bidenomics. They're suffering from the fact that now people have really seen that inflation is locked in. And when the Fed said the other day that they're not going to be dropping, it's at 5 or 5.5. You can't get capital because you can't get money, so you can't expand. So now everything's starting to crunch in. I did an auction on Friday in Sonoma for a big wine auction, not a nonprofit. It was people were purchasing, and you could feel it was coming back. It was people are pulling back. The wine industry is down, I think, some 20%. There's some certain luxuries that people have in life, and if they have to cut back, they'll cut back on stuff. So rather than going to Starbucks and spending $7, you bring the coffee with you from home. It is a luxury that we have sort of afforded ourselves, that cost. But if you start to add it up, it's like, wow, that adds up pretty quickly. But people don't like to give up the little stuff.
That's true. Like, they might think to themselves, you know, I'm pinched everywhere else. I'm still going to get that cup of coffee.
Give myself some luxury, yeah.
But like Howard Schultz is saying, if the experience going into a Starbucks is not one that makes you feel good because you're standing in line or whatever.
I don't understand the experience thing, right? Somebody yelling at you that's got half their head shaved and it looks like they fell into a tackle box and they're, you know, it's got this sort of bad attitude. It's like, I don't need that person.
Yeah, it's not a great experience.
You look at me like, what's
which Starbucks are you going to?
Like, anyone. You go to anyone, like in Seattle.
And they got one in Clealum, right?
We do now.
Yeah.
Right off the exit there.
You got a tackle box?
You got a Les Schwab? No.
Don't you have one in Safeway? Don't they have a Starbucks in the Safeway too?
I don't know. I don't go to either one, but they're very nice people. But people are really upset because there is vandalism, of course, because if you want to stop Israel from defending itself and killing a bunch of terrorists over there in the Gaza, what you do is you go in there and you smash up a Starbucks.
We actually came to see the original Starbucks, and unfortunately, it's not open.
Sheila Ordaz came from Texas, and like many others from out of town, made her way to the coffee shop, only to find disappointment.
Of course, you're going to Seattle, and you're going to want to... You know, this is Seattle, so it's kind of sad. I love Starbucks.
Cell phone video from Friday night shows some of the damage.
I'm assuming it was pro-Hamas terrorists, people that smashed it up, was it? Or they don't know?
It was just vandals. I think they were just calling
general
vandals right now.
General vandalism.
Yeah, come on, John.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jeez.
I guess they're busy out there blocking traffic.
Yeah. In the video, you can see the front window of the store vandalized, with a handful of firefighters and police officers responding to the incident.
I came a long way from nothing, but it's okay, I understand.
David Kikau came from Hawaii, invested in seeing.
Not all the way from Hawaii just to go to Starbucks, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Big draw.
No way.
yeah, that's a big
this
thing.
This iconic Seattle staple.
Well, in Hawaii, we have Starbucks, and we hang out there, we study there, we meet there. And I bought stocks in it a while ago, and I always wanted to see where it started.
Workers were on site throughout the weekend telling onlookers... So when will it open? A spokesperson sent King 5 a statement regarding the closure and vandalism, saying in part, fortunately, the store was closed and all partners and customers are safe. 1912 Pike Place is our original store where so much connection and kindness has taken place for more than half a century. We will reopen for our customers, our partners, and our community very soon. Reporting in Seattle, Brady Wakayama, King 5 News.
It is pretty crazy. I guess tourists will go to places that originally you wait in a very, very, very long line because that's part of the experience. And the longer you wait, the greater value you have. the longer the wait, you think, well, I'm really part of something. So let's stand in line for an hour to go get a cup of coffee so you can say, well, I went to the original Starbucks. And I don't even think it's the actual original Starbucks.
Oh, it's not? I thought it was.
No.
The Pike Place one? That's not the original.
There was one that was at 2000 Western Avenue, which doesn't exist anymore. It's not an address. Apparently it got bulldozed for something else. But yeah, that was the original one. This is just the oldest one they have.
Well, because I know that Schultz originally bought the company from somebody else who sold like filters and things. So that must be the one that you're referring to.
Probably,
so maybe this is the first one that he actively started. I had a friend who came in to visit. He came into town. He's from Finland. And he was super excited to see Seattle. And the number one thing on his list, I said, what do you want to do? Do you want to go up in the Space Needle? Do you want to go to a baseball game? What do you want to do? I want to go see the original Starbucks.
Right.
That was number one from Finland. So we went down there and we waited in line. We probably stood in line for 45 minutes waiting to get into this thing. We had a cup of coffee. It was
they
all right.
put on a bit of a show. They throw the cup. Have you done that?
No,
seriously.
Like the fish?
Yeah, they throw the cups to the person. They got like a little act going.
So they have an experience.
Yeah, they got... Okay. They do. They put the name on the cup. They toss it to the guy. And the guy catches.
I thought you meant like a glass cup. I was like, that's dangerous. No, you're talking about a paper cup.
They used to. I don't know if they're still doing it or not. Yeah, but people will wait in big long lines. I saw this one in the Disneyland. People have, I don't know how long the line was, hours and hours. And I hope we cut the curse word out.
I did, yes.
Okay.
Bro, look at the line.
Bruh.
This is a line for a popcorn bucket. Get the out of here.
Yeah.
Buying cereal. I mean, look at this. The line goes all the way back there.
Bruh.
All the way.
Bruh.
And it goes all the way over there. Like, you still have
you can't even see how far down the line goes. It just disappears into Disneyland.
People standing there.
Longer than a ride.
Like, bruh.
Seriously. Like, are you cereal? And it goes there.
Yeah, he's not doing a good job of explaining how long the line is, but it goes and 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 goes. Because people want to get the bucket.
What is this for popcorn?
Is it like a collectible bucket?
Apparently so. Yeah. But it's one of these things where people will want, it's the nutty thing where other people are getting something, so then you want to get in line and get the same thing that everybody else is getting. So the same thing about people waiting in a long line for Starbucks. I remember one time I was with Charlie, I forget what town we were in, the Cake Boss or something. Mm. Cupcakes were a big deal.
You have not heard this song.
And we're there and I go, Chuck, I am not waiting in line. Dad, you don't understand. That's like famous. I was like, okay, you go wait in line. I'll leave you there. No. I don't want to wait in line by myself. I'm not going to stand in line.
So you did though, right?
No, absolutely not.
Yes, you did. You're a good dad. You stood in line. You really didn't?
Oh, God,
did you leave her there in the middle of
nowhere? No. I talked her out of it. I told her the story. I changed the story. I said, you remember the time Dad took us to Disneyland in Florida? No. I don't think this is going to end well. I said, no, it doesn't end well. We first got there. We check into the hotel. My mom's putting all the stuff away. And she says, well, I'll meet you at, you know, whatever, Magic Kingdom, whatever, like in 2 hours. We didn't have cell phones, so that was the plan. So, I mean, well, the kids seem anxious. Let's get over there. So we're waiting in this big line. And they weren't doing the snaky thing where they snake you around the line. It was just a straight line.
Sure.
And we're standing there. Of course, it's Florida in the heat. My father's like, yeah, as long as the line. I might have been for Space Mountain or one of the ones, and whatever it was. And then he's, after about a half an hour, he goes, all right, everybody in. So we all get in there. He's filming a little semicircle around him. He goes, okay, here's the deal. $20 to every one of you if we get out of line and go home right now.
From Disneyland?
Yeah.
And you took it?
Yeah. Took it, and then I browbeat my sister into taking the 20. And my brother's like, I don't care, whatever. He didn't care. So my dad peeled off 20, gave us all $20, head back to the hotel. My mom's like, well, where are we going now? My dad goes, we're going home, which wasn't easy back then, because then you had to like call a travel agent or something to get like thing. But he was like, we're not waiting in line. We are not waiting
in line.
So we were in Disneyland or Disney World, whatever it was, for like about an hour and a half. And I didn't even make it out of the hotel. I went to the gift shop and I bought a great big rubber iguana. I blew the entire almost $20.
Yeah, that's nice.
And my sister kept her 20 and like for like years. She's like, "Here's the 20 from Disneyland." Yeah,
but
my
dad's
like,
didn't have any memories.
"I'm not waiting in line. I am not waiting in line."
You guys also don't exchange Christmas gifts, right? You just do money. You
just give that up. No, we don't even do money anymore. But no, the idea of like standing and waiting in line for something, just no. So it's not in my blood. So my daughter wants to go get a cupcake. I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Well, she goes, well, give me $20 so I don't wait in line for this. They're not giving you $20.
She heard that story. Yeah.
People like to take pictures in line now, too. That's the thing. People stand in line just to take a picture of them standing in a line so they can post on their social media page. that they waited in line for beignets or whatever they're waiting for.
With all due respect, morons. Seriously, I remember seeing people waiting in line at the... Thank you, Andrew. People waiting in line at Krispy Kreme when it first opened in Issaquah. And you think about people that are all of a sudden given, like, you've got cancer or something, and they tell you you've got 3 months to live. And people do not value their time. They don't. They would wait in line for donuts for 2.5 hours, and you know that there might be somebody just,
well,
you know,
50
miles
cancer.
Away that's at a hospital who would give anything to have an additional... 2 or 3 weeks of life, and you're wasting it.
Yeah, no,
wasting it for a donut or wasting it for a bucket or whatever. People don't value their time.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Have you had a Krispy Kreme?
they're to die for.
Pretty good. They're pretty good.
We didn't get to it in the video, but the guy waiting in line for the popcorn bucket said that the resellers were out in droves.
So that's what they're doing.
Somebody would just get in line, and I'm assuming like you could do that at the original Starbucks, because I know that the gift shop is a big draw. So why not?
Oh, my God.
It's a good business
opportunity. What's going on with people these days, right?
No. What's going on with all these people? I would wait in line. No, you're like, I'd wait. Or take my daughter. Oh, you're a good dad. You wait in line. If you're a good dad, you know what you teach your kid?
To wait in line?
No. There's a greater value to your life and to your time, and not to be caught up in all this stuff. Don't get caught up. You're being commercialized. Well, you're being lobotomized.
Depends on what you're waiting for. You guys could have had a nice little afternoon at Disneyland. Instead, you got $20.
Waiting in line.
Would you go home with an iguana? Nice.
Yes.
Also, how much did it cost for the Disneyland tickets, the hotel?
My dad didn't care. It was about the value of the time.
Sounds like a tremendous waste of finances to fly all that way to buy you an iguana.
My father is not going to wait in line.
He's got his principles.
By the way, he doesn't have any memories, but he's got his principles. Which was the coolest part of the iguana, one of them fell out onto the carpet. Remember the crazy carpet they used to have on the color of the floor of the those airplanes? Everything, it was all weird, like purple and brown and green. Sure. I was scrambling around on the ground trying to find the iguana's little extra eye. Couldn't find it.
Aww.
And my mom's like, hey, while you're down there, get my cigarettes. I'm going back to the smoking section of the airplane.
Planning to go to more than one Mariners game this season? Consider a Mariners Flex membership. You can choose your games and seats as you go all season long. Plus, save at least 10% on tickets and pay no fees. Come on board today at mariners.com/flex.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine, these are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Brighten your home with big savings at Menards. Combine stylish lighting with LED technology with Fight Electric smart color-changing light bulbs. They have a full range of colors, allowing you to choose the perfect one to suit your mood. Say big on all Fight Lighting smart home products. Now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today, in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Tough day here for me, and I assume for Jake as well, because Sherry got replaced today, and then you have to step in. It wasn't anything you're doing, it's just the finances of what's happening. passing of Dory Monson had a tremendous effect upon the bottom line here at Cairo. Dory, after 28 years, you worked with him as his producer. You know, the guy was just so incredibly popular and was a big part of the revenue stream.
Big time.
And then also, if you just get a whole bunch of problems when it comes to the economy in Seattle, struggling with a whole bunch of other stuff going on, the COVID lockdown and the business and everything. So all of that has a bottom line effect. And they're running a business here, so they decide, well, they've got some very difficult decisions to make. You could feel the sadness here in the air when I walked in, and you could see the sadness in Brian and Kathy, the people that have to do this because these are human beings and you're really upsetting their entire life when you decide to let people go. Sherry, for her sake, has been in this business for a very, very long time, and she knew, you know, you always never know when you're going to go, and we used to joke about it all the time, then we were like, when are they going to fire all of us, because we knew that the management wasn't always listening. That's why Andrew could put so many fart sounds in. So it was a tough thank you. It's a tough morning. I was in the best mood after I had heard the news, and then I had to get on a phone call and have this call with this group of people. There were six people on the line talking about if I would come and do this auction. They were sort of feeling me out. They're talking to a whole bunch of different auctioneers from around the country. And they said, we'd like to start the meeting. And I just found out that Sherry got S-canned. And so I was in the best mood. And they said, we'd like to start the meeting. Let's all go around, introduce ourselves, and give our pronouns. So I was the last one to go. And they got to me. I said my name. And I said, and I don't believe in pronouns. And then there was this weird, uncomfortable moment. And then the woman goes, some people might
should we explain it to you?
Some people might be offended by that.
Offended by you not believing in pronouns?
Yeah. Yeah. And I said, language is the only way that we're able to prosper and to have progress as a society. And it's an agreement that we all agree to. When I say that's the window, that's a window. We know what a window is. We all agree that's what a window is because that's the glass. It's there. It's framed by wood. And that's if something were to catch on fire, the firemen were running the door. They say, everybody quick, open the window and jump out the window. Ready? We go out the window. We know the window. So we use words in order to communicate ideas and thoughts. And we need to be specific with our words because that's what we owe one another as a society to be able to progress. And when we start to think of only ourselves and we then begin to make words mean what we want words to mean, we have cut off other people and we have no longer are we thinking of us as a society to make progress. And when you start to selfishly determine that you're going to make a word mean what you want that word to mean, it's not fair to everybody else and it doesn't do anyone any good. And it's only congratulatory, and it's only selfish and egotistical to all of a sudden want somebody to change a word because you want the word to change. And these people, I've seen them on the Zoom call like,
oh, this is Zoom?
Oh, boy.
I thought this was just a phone call. You're actually watching their faces.
Yeah.
Were they all like suddenly turning off their cameras? So
no, they're just looking at me like, we're not going to hire this guy. But I thought, you know what?
Oh, so this was a job you were up for? This is like an auction.
Yeah, you're gonna pay a lot of money.
You pitching yourself for a gig.
Yeah. But I gave up on the pitching part and I just thought I'm going to make a brief little, it's going to be brief.
You're like, is this
I know
worth,
they're not going to hire me.
Is this worth thousands and thousands of dollars for me to make this point?
$10,000.
$10,000. And you said, you know what? I said, having a rough morning. I gotta take this opportunity.
Yeah. I wanted to tell people that I don't agree with it. I don't agree with you. You cannot redefine a word because how you feel. It's not fair.
Let me ask you a question about the group. Was there any? So how many people were on the phone at this or the Zoom?
So I was going to be the sixth.
Six people. You were the last. So like six people.
Yeah.
Did anybody else? Thoughts on this?
No, they all know because there's always one person sort of running the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then
person's the boss. Everybody else was probably one of their underlings. And they're all interviewing you.
Yeah, they're all listening in. Yeah. So then I just said, you know, I don't think we do well. And then I said, I don't know how many of you ever read 1984, but you know what they wanted to do. Orwell talks about how they wanted to construct. Yeah, you know what I was going to be
like, John, your mic. We can't hear you. Oh, we're losing a connection.
I didn't care. I said, listen, in that, if you've read that book, I don't know if you've saw. There's a gal up there in the top right hand corner. You're nodding yes. They constrict the words to constrict thoughts so they could constrict people. They controlled people. So they had right speech. So they got rid of adjectives and adverbs. So that was like good, good, or good, great, because they didn't want anyone to be able to express an idea beyond what they wanted to do. It was all about control. So you're controlling language. Once you can control language, you can control thought. And once you can control thought, then you can control the person. And I said, and that's what that is. And that's what this is. I know if it's a woman or a man, or if it's not, the person could tell me later on. But we don't need all of a sudden go into this world where we're redefining words for one person's quote unquote feelings or sensibilities. There's facts. That's a fact. That's a window. That's a fact. That's a man. That's a fact. That's a woman.
You felt like when you were meeting these people, you were being introduced.
I didn't care. I was mad about sharing. I didn't care.
No, I know. And you were trying.
Kissing away all that money. But I thought, you know what?
But you didn't care about the money. You make a lot of money. You don't care about that money. I mean, it's 10 grand.
I got the money.
Yeah, I mean, it's 10 grand. 10 grand's a good amount of money for one of those works. The other thing, I was wondering, did they think, like, you know, not to toot your horn, but you're like the number one auctioneer, right?
Man.
It's like a thing, whatever. You're the number one auctioneer in the country. They would want to make as much money as they could possibly make for this event. I assume the event was to make some money for some charity of some sort.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you want the best guy?
Not when that guy's giving you a speech about George Orwell and right speech. You're like, what the hell is this guy going to do on the microphone?
I don't know if he's going to fit in with our...
I just thought, you know what? It where I was at that point, it wasn't the best time to have the call. And I thought, you know what? I didn't care. I'm going to lose the money, yeah. But part of it was also like, come on, people, wake up. We know, listen, if somebody is a man and they think they're a woman, that's them thinking that or they feel that or whatever. You go and respect the person for it. They're going to live a life. It's going to be a real torment. I got a friend of mine who went through the entire procedure, went through the whole thing. I mean, he went from male to female, and he lives in upstate New York now, and talked to him, was Eric, and Lisa's his name now, and it's like he's still struggling with this because, yes, he changed the outside, but the inside, there's something wrong. But that aside, I said, we don't change words because we're afraid of hurting somebody's feelings.
But did you feel on the call that this would elicit some sort of a response?
All of a sudden, they all were like, yeah, you're right. Let's all go read.
Did they start slow clapping you?
Yeah, they see. Okay. Yeah, no.
They're like, John.
Okay.
How fast can you get here?
So I guess if anybody has any questions, and they're all like sitting there, and I'm just like, meow.
You're like, wait a minute, guys. Just I got to ask one
thing. That was it. Nope.
Did I get the job?
No, I didn't bother. No, okay. I nope. Just weird how times work out.
They're going
like
another direction.
Yeah.
Okay. You did it for Sherry.
Well, part of it was, I wouldn't do that for Sherry. That's what I should have done for Sherry. No, Sherry would have said, what? Don't get mad and lose that gig.
Take the money. Take the money and run.
But you know, you're in a situation like you just catch somebody at the wrong time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You went full George Orwell.
Oh, I did. I went all in. I would have gone longer, but then I think they started playing traffic music.
Oh,
no, that's the traffic music I hear now. I'm sorry.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and Regenerative Medicine. These are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Thank you, Pendergast Law. I'm going to change that one. Wilcox Family Farm Eggs. Sherry's favorite recipe. Hard boil and put salt on them.
Salt, yeah.
Wilcox Family Farm Eggs. All right. Here comes the mailman now, Jake. There he is, right over there. Come on, mailman. Get in here.
I'm the mailman.
Yep.
As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Right to your door. We'll get to letter of the day. First, take care of all the rest. Jake?
All right, Vicky in West Seattle, she says, hi, John. I can tell from your tone today that you're feeling a little upset. I am, too. I'm really going to miss Sherry and Nate. They are so awesome. They won't be unemployed for long. Love to you all, and welcome to 3 to 7, Jake. Thank
you,
Vicky.
Vicky's going to be hiring those guys. All right. Warren in Tacoma on the radio guy who died in his car. Hey, funnish fact for you, 10% of people die on the toilet. I've had to explain to a couple of families how their loved ones had passed away. When they asked, one of the families asked me why I told them, for they were horrified. I told them that they asked, and I'm not allowed to lie about it. That's Warren in Tacoma, who doesn't lie about how people die.
Admirable. 253 says, sad day, but congrats to Jake. I'm certain Dory is happy in heaven. Oh, that's nice. Thank you, 253.
That's you. 509 says, let me guess. Sherry's messing with the mailman. Finally caught up with her. I think so. The mailman did have some problems with some of those big hands that she had around his waist.
425 says, ever since Dory passed, you guys have been my dream team to work together. That's nice. Sad day, but this is a silver lining.
Vicky in Arlington. Is this a different Vicky? Vicky in West Seattle. I guess she moves over to Arlington. I really appreciate you telling us what's going on because, yes, with Ron and Don, they were just gone and we had no idea. So now you know.
Rachel 425 says, I'm glad to hear Jake can now help out getting all his kids to bed since he won't be in the studio at night. That is really nice. I was getting home at like 10:45 before.
Yeah, yeah, we did it for your kids.
Yeah. Appreciate it. sorry, Sherry, but thank you for my kids.
Yeah, you know what? I like my cigars. I take them out of my mouth every once in a while.
Okay.
You know what that's a reference to?
I actually don't. I don't get the reference.
You know that one?
No.
All right. Either. That's for the 2%ers. Zebra Watch is over. Darlene in the 206. Hey, guys. First, sound great together. Oh, thank you. It's rather curious that Shug, the zebra, hooked up with a horse named Razzle Dazzle when a group of zebras are known as Dazzle.
Is that true? A group of zebras is a dazzle?
It is, yeah. She actually put Razzle, but I looked it up, and it's actually a dazzle.
Wow. So that's interesting.
It all made sense then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Look at
this. Just trying to get home. Kyle in Olympia says, to all of those that say that bull riding is a sport, I've always liked to remind them that they have to be saved by a full-grown man dressed as an actual clown. Okay. Thank you, Kyle.
But that's not fair.
What do you mean?
Well, saying Kyle's like taking shots at these. Bull riding is a sport. Yes, it is a sport. They remind them you're going to be saved by a man and a clown.
He's saying that the bull riders aren't tough.
Well, he's just saying you're saved by a man in a clown suit.
No. The clown suit, those guys are very tough.
Would you rather have them be dressed as an accountant?
That actually would be kind of funny.
How about an insurance salesman? It's a Woody Allen reference. That's another for the 3%.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Letter of the day.
All right, this is from Vonnie in Belltown. Do we have special music for this?
There it is. You don't need to ask.
They captured my stripes in North Bend, but that's not where my story will end. I'll return to the zoo, but between me and you, when they're tending to lions, tigers, and apes, I will be plotting my greatest escape. That's a poem. I don't know if you guys knew that, by the way. I was reading it.
little sad to have the North Bend Zebra saga over, isn't it?
I wish he was still with us.
Yeah.
I wish that Zebra was still around.
You can go see him in Montana.
Okay.
That's all she wrote.
Like how to yell out, that's a poem.
I don't know. I don't know much about poetry. I don't know if people will get it. It's a
nicely
poem.
Done. Nicely read.
Another hour?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, you got to get home to your kids?
No, not for an hour.
All right.